From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
VOI listener, welcome back with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting info, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz, and website voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia set to become carbon capture and storage hub. President Joko Widodo praised for successfully navigating through world challenges. Now the news in detail. Indonesia is set to become a carbon capture and storage hub. The Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment stated it on Saturday. Its Deputy for Maritime Sovereignty and Energy Coordination, Jody Mahardi, told Antara News Agency on Saturday that Indonesia is at the forefront of the green industrial era with its potential CO2 storage capacity of 400 to 600 gigatons in depleted reservoirs and saline aquifers. Mahardi stated that the national CO2 emission storage can last for 322 to 482 years with an estimated peak of 1.2 gigatons of CO2 equivalent by 2030. To achieve net zero emissions by 2060, Indonesia strives to develop carbon capture and storage technology and establish its hub. This initiative will not only contain domestic CO2, but also from overseas through international cooperation. He said the carbon capture and storage hub will mark a new era for Indonesia, where it is recognized as a license to invest in low-carbon industries such as blue ammonia, blue hydrogen, and advanced petrochemicals. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, praised President Joko Widodo's expertise in navigating the world economy's challenging situation. The minister noted it in a statement received on Saturday. He also expressed his positive outlook on his leadership, especially in facing global challenges such as handling the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the minister, President Joko Widodo's expertise is the key to the government's achievements in the last 3 or 4 years. Minister Panjaitan assessed that President Joko Widodo is able to overcome global obstacles and economic challenges with the right decisions. He considered that the data and suggestions prepared by the President's team became a strong foundation for policies that were well executed. He hoped that President Joko Widodo's successor will be able to continue his leadership with the same success. Delegates from the Indonesian Youth and Sports Ministry and East Kalimantan Province's Youth and Sports Office visited Saudi Arabia to discuss opportunities to cooperate in youth and sports fields. Head of Youth Development at the East Kalimantan Youth and Sports Office, Rasman, noted in a press release on Sunday that the meeting was held to talk about possible measures for following up the Memorandum of Understanding signed by the Indonesian Youth and Sports Ministry and the Ministry of Sports of Saudi Arabia in October last year. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Israel battled Hamas militants on Saturday in pursuit of its elusive goal of full control of northern Gaza after the United Nations Security Council appealed for more aid for the Palestinian enclave but stopped short of demanding a ceasefire. Hamas armed wing, the Al-Qassam Brigade, said it had destroyed 5 Israeli tanks in the area, killing and injuring their crews after reusing 2 undetonated missiles launched earlier by Israel. Reuters could not independently verify the report. Israel's chief military spokesperson said on Friday that its forces had achieved almost complete operational control of northern Gaza and were preparing to expand the ground offensive to other areas in the strip with a focus on the south. Taiwan's defense ministry said on Sunday that over the previous 24 hours, it had detected 8 Chinese fighter jets crossing over the median line of the Taiwan Strait, as well as 1 Chinese balloon. Taiwan, which China claims as its own territory, has repeatedly complained of Chinese military activity around the island over the past 4 years. China has been stepping up its missions near Taiwan as the January 13 presidential and parliamentary elections on the island approach. The UN Security Council expressed alarm at growing violence in war-torn Sudan recently after it reported that 7 million people have been displaced by the conflict. In a joint statement, the Council strongly condemned attacks on civilians and the spread of the conflict into areas hosting large population of internally displaced persons, refugees, and asylum seekers. In addition to the 7 million internally displaced people, the UN said Thursday another 1.5 million had fled into neighboring countries. Since fighting broke out on April the 15th between Army Chief Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and his former deputy, Rapid Support Forces Commander Mohammed Hamdan Daglo, the city of Wad Madani, 180 kilometers south of Khartoum, had become a haven for thousands of displaced people during the conflict. But the Security Council said fighting had spread there too, causing refugees to flee once again. Last item. Vietnamese President Pho Van Thuong attended a ceremony in Cang Ngai on Saturday to celebrate 10 years of the Vietnam-Singapore Industrial Park in the central province, the 5th of its kind in Vietnam, covering 660 hectares. It was built at a cost of $140 million and put into operation in 2013. After a decade of operation, the Cang Ngai VSIP issued investment licenses to 39 projects worth over $1 billion. On the projects, 34 are foreign invested, mostly in the field of garment, textile, leather and footwear, automobile supports industry, and medical equipment manufacturing. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This week's spotlight is on International Organization for Migration and Indonesia launched 1 international migration data. The International Organization for Migration, IOM, in collaboration with the Indonesian Central Bureau of Statistics, launched the 1 international migration data collaboration in Jakarta on Wednesday, December the 20th. In an official statement received by RRI Voice of Indonesia Thursday, it was stated that the activity, which was also attended by the Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Muhajir Effendi, and Acting Head of Central Bureau of Statistics, Amalia Adininggar Widyasanti, was aimed at officially launching collaborative efforts to implement the 1 international migration data. The proposed draft of the 2023-2028 data blueprint and roadmap was prepared by both sides through dialogue with various ministry institutions, including the International Labour Organization, ILO. Coordinating Minister Muhajir Effendi in his speech said that one of the obstacles in making policies related to international migration so far is the difficulty in obtaining accurate information and data. Therefore, integrated and quality data is needed, which is expected to be produced through 1 international migration data. Minister Muhajir stated that it is a form of respect for the basic rights and freedoms of millions of migrants throughout the world who have contributed to their countries of origin and destination, including those from Indonesia. Meanwhile, Jeffrey Labovitch, as head of mission for IOM Indonesia, also emphasized the importance of the One International Migration Data Initiative in realizing well-managed and evidence-based migration. According to him, good migration management can be created through the implementation of migration policies that are comprehensive, coherent, and refer to long-term results. In its implementation, this activity is supported by U.S. Department of State Population, Refugee, and Migration Bureau through the Asian Regional Migration Program, which is implemented by IOM in 12 countries, including Indonesia. The launch of One International Migration Data Collaboration is expected to support Indonesia's position as one of the leading countries in the world for the implementation of the Global Compact for safe, orderly, and regular migration, as well as for achieving Golden Indonesia 2045 and the Sustainable Development Goals. That was this week's Spotlight. I'll begin today in history with December the 24th, 1914, the Christmas Truce of World War I. The Christmas Truce is the name of a truce that took place at Christmas between the Central Bloc troops and Allied Bloc soldiers during World War I, to be precise in 1914. Quoting Britannica.com, German Emperor William II sent a Christmas tree to the lines ahead in an effort to boost morale. German soldiers started putting up Christmas trees. They sang hymns such as Stille Nacht or Silent Night, And on the eve of Christmas 1914, several German soldiers came out of their hiding trenches and walked towards the enemy's defense line in no man's land, Belgium, shouting Merry Christmas in English. At first, the British soldiers thought it was a trap. However, after seeing the German soldiers came out without weapons, they came out too and ended mingling and exchanging gifts. Switching to December 24, 1994, terrorists hijacked and killed Air France passengers. Four terrorists reportedly hijacked an Air France plane. The plane, flight number 8969, was hijacked in the Algerian capital, Algiers. The incident occurred on December 24, 1994. During their action, the terrorist group killed three passengers. They also flew this commercial plane to a city in France, Marseille. Seeing this violence, the French Prime Minister at that time, Edouard Balladur, immediately took an emergency decision. He ordered to use military operations to end this act of terrorism. All remaining passengers on the Air France plane were rescued. After being rescued, the passengers said that the terrorists who were holding them hostage were planning to blow up the plane in Paris. And today in history with December the 24th, 2000, the Indonesian Christmas Eve bombings. On Christmas Eve, December the 24th, 2000, there was a series of bomb attacks on a number of churches in Indonesia. Some of the areas affected by the terrorist attack were Batam, Pekanbaru, Jakarta, Sukabumi, Pangandaran, Bandung, Kudus, Mojokerto, and Mataram. Quoting Tempo.co, in Jakarta it was recorded that the explosion caused 6 deaths with 54 others injured and dozens of cars destroyed. That was today in history.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
VY listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply to an email from Dr. D.K. Sarkar in India. He was listening to our broadcast through frequency 7780 kHz with SIO333. Hello, sir. Thank you so much for recording audio about English broadcast. It is so quite clear. As your request, I will send QSL card as soon as possible. As appreciation, I will play a beautiful song special for you. Here is the song.
Kisah yang bercerita tentang kelembutan, tentang kehangatan. Tiada satupun yang dapat untuk mengisahkan apakah gerangan yang ku rasakan sejak dari pertama kali kita berjumpa. Bayanganmu selalu mengusik kabur. Begitu ingin ku bersamamu selalu. Tahu aku sayang padamu. adakah ku jatuh cinta bila bersamamu bahagia hatiku. Sering ku inginkan kau datang di dalam hidupku.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. Today's edition will give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on PON 2024 expected to produce outstanding athletes for the future. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin hopes that the 2024 National Sports Week or PON in North Sumatra and Aceh can produce athletes with better achievements than previous PON events. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin stated this when receiving the new management of the Indonesian National Sports Committee, KONNI, for the 2023-2027 period led by General Chairman Marciano Norman Tuesday in Jakarta. According to the Vice President, referring to the target or ambition of the National Sports Grand Design with priority sports for the Olympics, Indonesia must be able to produce athletes with regional and international achievements. For this reason, Vice President Ma'ruf Amin, as chair of the National Sports Design Center Coordination Team, encouraged KONNI to increase the number of sports championships and schools, especially in the regions, to produce outstanding national athletes. Meanwhile, he hopes that the sports arena that has been used for PON will be well managed after the Grand National Sports event and that post-activity management can be done in collaboration with the private sector. Apart from that, the Vice President hopes that the Indonesian National Sports Committee, in implementing the 2024 National Sports Week or PON, which will be held for the first time in two provinces, can help accelerate the economic turnaround for the host region. He also highlighted the importance of developing reliable sports coaches because, like in the world of education, the role of teachers is very important in producing outstanding students. Meanwhile, KONNI Chairman Marciano Norman said that the provinces of North Sumatra and Aceh were ready to hold the 2024 PON from September the 25th to October the 9th, with participants covering 38 provinces, including the four new autonomous regions of Papua. According to Marciano Norman, the two regions hosting the 2024 PON continue to complete the final stages of various arenas in collaboration with the Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing. According to him, in North Sumatra, there are 35 sports, and in Aceh, there are 34 sports being competed. Furthermore, regarding the National Sports Grand Design, Marciano Norman reported that the program is running well with increasing achievements in 14 leading sports. That was my Indonesia Today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply to an email from Mr. Muhammad Shamim S. in India. He was listening to English broadcast on December 17, 2023, time in UTC 1 to 1:30 p.m. frequency in kilohertz 3325 in 90 meter band SW band, and the SINPO is 34333. Hello sir, thank you for your reception report through your letter. I know that our broadcast can be heard clearly in your country. Well, Mr. Muhammad Shamim, my colleagues will send QSL card to you as soon as possible. Please wait for it. And now let's enjoy a beautiful song special for you. Happy listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Thank you for joining the English program from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we'll present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Indonesian Wonder today is featuring legendary culinary Bongko Mentou from Jepara, Central Java. Jepara is a coastal area of Java which is well known throughout the island for its seafood. However, culinary lovers who are visiting this area can also try other dishes, which is not seafood. One of them is Bongko Mentou, which is considered a legendary culinary dish in Jepara. Bongko Mentou is originated from Jepara Palace of the ancient Kalinyamat Kingdom. It is actually rice flour omelette filled with shredded chicken, vermicelli, ear mushrooms, and poured with coconut milk. Apart from that, what makes Bongko Mentou unique is that each one is wrapped in banana leaves and is small in size. The process of making this culinary dish doesn't take too long. Heat the oil to saute the ground spices consisting of shallots, garlic, candle nuts, cumin, and coriander until fragrant. Add the shredded chicken and coconut milk little by little, then stir until cooked. After that, add the vermicelli and chopped mushrooms while continuing to stir until the mixture becomes thick, almost dry. Then turn off the fire. Make the wrapper by mixing beaten egg, flour, water, and salt until smooth. Then heat the oil again to make thin omelette wrappers from the mixture. Take one, fill it in the middle, then fold the left and right parts. Roll like making a rolled omelette. Then wrap tightly in banana leaves. Steam for approximately 30 minutes. After it is cooked, serve with coconut milk sauce called areh, which is made from coconut milk and salt to taste. This snack can be a delicious choice for a tasty treat at a social gathering or small party at home. Bongko Mentou is usually sold in traditional markets and stalls or restaurants at a very affordable price, cheap. The package is usually sold for 3,000 rupiahs, or for $1, you can get 5. That was Indonesian Wonder today.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Before we end our segment Listener's Mailbag, I will greet Muhammad Akil Bashir in Pakistan. Hello sir, how are you today? I listened to audio about our broadcast which recorded by you. Thank you for always monitoring our broadcast which recorded. And I'm waiting for your next reception report. Listener wherever you are, before I sign out Listener's Mailbag, I will play a beautiful song. Enjoy!
Rasakan cinta sejak pertama ku jumpa dirimu, ku berikan tanda, namun mengapa kau tetap berlalu tak pernah melihatku. Oh oh, andai saja kau mengerti apa yang ku rasakan, kau tahu betapa ku mengharapkan kau jadi kekasihku. Oh Tuhan, tolong aku, tunjukkan cara untuk memiliki dirinya. Aku
jadi milikku.
Ku
mengharapkan kau jadi kekasihku.
Tuhan kan tolong aku,
Tuhan
tunjukkan cara untuk memiliki dirimu. Aku ingin hatimu jadi milikku.
Listener, coming up next, we have two programs in a row called Miscellany and Music Corner. Enjoy!
Miscellany today is on replica Christmas tree from Water Hyacinth. The Christmas tree is a symbol of warmth and joy in celebrating Christmas. In Indonesia, although the Christian population is relatively small, around 10%, the tradition of celebrating Christmas is quite strong. As Indonesia is known to have extraordinary natural wealth, it is not surprising that the Christmas tree used to celebrate this celebration has its own uniqueness. In the midst of the spirit of environmental sustainability, a new unique way of celebrating Christmas has emerged using environmentally friendly materials, one of which is a Christmas tree made of water hyacinth. This unique Christmas tree can be seen in Saloka Theme Park in Semarang Regency, Central Jawa. It is 13 meters high with a diameter of 8 meters. This tree is recorded in the Indonesian World Records Museum or MURI for its uniqueness. The Christmas tree needed around 400 kilograms of water hyacinth and took about 3 weeks to make. The process of making the replica Christmas tree also involves the local community. They work together to make this Christmas tree as part of mutual cooperation activities. Semarang Region Ngesti Nugraha appreciated the creativity of Saloka Theme Park Management, who came up with the idea of making a replica Christmas tree from water hyacinth. According to him, this will be a different experience for visitors to see a giant Christmas tree made from water hyacinth. The water hyacinth Christmas tree teaches that the beauty of Christmas can be realized while still paying attention to environmental sustainability. Water hyacinth, or also known as red taro, is an aquatic plant that is often considered a weed. However, in creative hands, water hyacinth can be transformed into a stunning material for a Christmas tree. That was Miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Kau tak pernah berubah, kau masih saja dengan beran yang kau tak suka. Apa kata ayah? Jadi pembatas ruang gerakmu berkarya. Maksud hatiku ingin bebaskanmu. Sekilas yang aku dengar, sekilas yang aku dengar.
Hello viewer listener, this time I will present a song by Bisma Karisma. Bisma Karisma, who was born in Bandung, West Java, November 27, 1990, is an Indonesian actor and singer. In the Indonesian music world, Bisma had been on hiatus for some time, but now he is back with his solo project. So far, Bisma has always been known as a member of the boy band Smash. This time, he wants to show the other side of Bisma Karisma to the public so they can accept him completely. On December 1, 2023, Bisma Karisma released a single entitled Alalia. According to the Big Indonesian Dictionary, Alalia means inability to speak due to abnormalities or damage to the external speech organ, not to the nerve center. Musically, this single is 180 degrees different from Smash songs. In this song, Bisma involves Lava Pratomo as a producer, and this has a big impact on the arrangement of Alalia. This single takes the pop genre with the dominant synthesizers, giving a melancholic feel. Well, listener, here is Bisma Karisma with the song Alalia. Enjoy!
Thank you. luas membentang belantara dusta tangisnya menggetarkan mereka yang tuli. Berlumuran sesal bertamukan dendam.
South Indonesia.
Ku rasakan cinta sejak pertama ku jumpa dirimu, ku berikan tanda. Namun mengapa kau tetap berlalu? Tak pernah melihatku. Oh, andai saja kau mengerti apa yang ku rasakan. Kau tahu betapa ku mengharapkan kau jadi kekasihku. Oh Tuhan, tolong aku tunjukkan cara
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Cinta. Ini tentang bertemunya dua manusia dengan sejuta mimpinya, saling menguatkan. Layaknya senja yang mungkin mulai meredup, tapi pagi akan selalu hadir menopangnya.
Percayakah kau bahwa kita ada untuk menjadi cerita atas adil Tuhan? Telah saatnya ku berhenti bertanya, ruang dan waktu menjawabnya dengan hadirmu. Dalam sederhana kisahku yang
thank you for listening to our English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequency 3325 and 4750 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram at VOI_official, Twitter or now known as X at VOI Indonesia, and send email to VOI@voinews.id. So I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.